Pastor Tyler, thank you so much for this opportunity and to stand before you guys. I was so just really blessed by the message today, guys. The Spirit of God in us and in this church. So, yeah, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would just bring something out from your words that would build block by block, brick by brick. Lord, thank you so much for your never-ending grace, Lord. We just fall into it tonight in your name. Amen. If you would turn in your Bible into 2 Kings chapter 9, and I hope this comes together. I hope it would, and it will. I say those things in faith. But 2 Kings chapter 9, and after thinking from today's message, so much kind of spinning around, I don't know about you, we, like Pastor Schaller said, like go home and read Genesis chapter 24. And I told Lizzie, I said, Lizzie, that was the chapter I read when I was going to propose to you. She was like, you never told me that. So I said, man, but it's taken on a whole new meaning. I'm sorry. Sorry, babe. That's kind of gone, and now we got a new thing going on. Sorry. Okay. So 2 Kings chapter 9, there's a man of God who's anointed by God's man, Elijah, right? And his name is Jehu. And I just want to make this one point. And in chapter 9, verse 17, Jehu he's been called by God and he's been told what to do. And he's on a mission, and it's pretty intense if you read it. But I think it relates to our life. And he's going to do what is commanded of him. But remember, he's anointed. And remember what Pastor Schaller pointed to today in 1 John chapter 2. And thinking about how the Spirit has given us power from God and given us a sound mind. And as Pastor Schaller mentioned too, this beautiful idea that life before Christ was just scratching the surface, you know, right? Remember the circle and that, like, but we wanted the deep things. And Jehu has it here. It says in verse 17, and he's going after this wicked king. And Elijah told him, you must destroy him. And this is much like our life, actually, I think. And it says, now the watchman was standing on the tower of Jezreel, and he saw the company of Jehu as he came and said, I see a company. And Joram said, take a horseman and send to meet them and let them say, is it peace? So as the man on a horseback went to meet him and said, thus saith the king, is it peace? And Jehu said, what do you have to do with peace? Turn around and ride behind me. And then he goes on to say, and the watchman turned. And the watchman reported saying, the messenger reached them, but he is not coming back. Then he sent out a second horseman, and he came and said, who came to them and said, thus the king has said, is it peace? And Jehu answered, what do you have to do with peace? Turn around and ride behind me. And again, the watchman reported, and he reached them, but he is not coming back. And I just was thinking how, like, the Spirit of God in this world is changing people's lives. And it is confronting the evil that's in this world, but also, more importantly, it's confronting the souls of men. You know, I really love this diagram of, like, the lines in the globe. You know, like, okay, there's lies, but then there's God's Spirit. I've always thought of that in a country like that's 99% not Christian, you know? Like, how can it be that there's anything there? But that's just it. We read that the Bible says that there is, and it's God's Spirit. And this man is sent into a dark place, and honestly, like, he's a man on a chariot going after a king in a tower. And he doesn't even really have a plan. He's just told by God what to do. Think about that, you know? Like, we're called out of this world, but then we're put back in. It's kind of ironic. It's like, no, we don't want it. But then we go, then we realize God has given us what we need. And I like this part. This is the end, and it says, the second part of verse 20, and it says, this is the guy in the tower. He's describing Jehu. He's like, and he says, and he reached, and he says, and the second part says, and the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he drives furiously. I was like, that's really cool. That's like a spirit-filled life. You know, we're so different. You know, I mean, I think that brings a lot of like funny things to mind. It does in my mind. And what the Spirit does in our life, what he calls us to do, how he asks us to die so that we could live. So contrary to the world and so different from what this world system is saying. And I was like, I want to drive furiously. And I know a lot of people that drive furiously. And I know a church that drives furiously. You know what I mean? Like, that would go to West Virginia when no one goes to West Virginia. You know what I mean? Like, no one wants to fly to another part of the world. You know, I had lunch with Marty and Sue. And I don't know if you know Marty and Sue, but they gave up their lives to be on the mission field. They went to Helsinki. They went to Vienna. They went to Budapest. And then they went here, and they had nothing but given their lives. They've driven furiously. And now they're loving my children. And I was thinking that this is what we have in the Spirit of God. And lastly, do you guys remember in Luke chapter 9, it says that Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. He was driving there. He was so driven by the Spirit. God anointed him, and then the disciples, remember, they got it wrong. They were like, let's destroy this town. What do you think? And Jesus says, right? That's the wrong spirit. I didn't come here to destroy a man and his life. I came to save it. And this is what we're called to, and I felt that way today. I know we all did, and I just think as we go into this new year, like kind of calendar year with Bible school, missions, trips, day school, like all of us kind of going back in a way, that we would drive furiously and not care what everyone else thinks. We just are led by the Spirit, our teacher. And I'm just so thankful that we can come here and get that same directive and same spirit, same sound. And then lastly, to have people that drive like that, you know? I love that, you know? This past springtime, I had a plumber who I invited to the play. And he's like, oh yeah, I heard of that place, that church. You guys are the ones that aren't shutting down. You guys are the ones preaching on the roof. You know? And that's true, isn't it? We are driving furiously with a mission, and I love that. We are a part of that, in Jesus' name.
All right, first I want to welcome anyone who's here for the first time. We have classes on how to drive furiously. We'd love to invite you to part of that. Just lift your hand. Anyone here for the very first time in one of our services? Anyone? There you go. Thank you. Thank you for being with us. We have something for you at the Welcome Center. Awesome. All right. Also, just a reminder, Bible College coming up a week from Tuesday. Remember, tomorrow is the last day to register without a late fee. So sign up furiously before that late fee hits you. And let's see, I'm just going to play this all the way through this. Watch it. And beginning next Sunday at 5 p.m. In Classroom 2, they'll be showing some of the archives of Pastor Stevens' teaching. So that'll happen on Sunday afternoons at 5 p.m. if you want to be a part of that in Classroom 2, beginning next Sunday, okay? And lastly now, prepare to give. Hal? Yes, awesome. That's right. Jehu was driving like somebody on 95 in an old BMW. Who could that be? You're driving furiously and giving furiously to a mission that is going forward furiously. So, Lord, thank you for this time to give. In your name, amen.
Well, it's such an honor. Thank you, Pastor Schaller, for today's messages. Wow. Wasn't it just fantastic? I did my homework. You know, thank God I went home and just read the chapter in Genesis. And, you know, there are some portions of my Bible whenever I read it, I think of Pastor Schaller. And this is one of those portions. I think it's because when we were in Bible college, this was, as you were teaching, I remember especially the part at the end of the story when Isaac is at nighttime in a field meditating. Did you read the story? He's in a field, and it just says he's meditating, and he lifts up his eyes, and he sees the camels. He sees the camels. Rebecca was on the camels. He didn't see her. He saw the camels. But I love this story because it's a love story. And I love it because when she sees him, she gets off of the camel and she said, "Who is this man? Who is this man?" And the servant was very quick to say, "That's the master. That's the master." So in light of the service tonight, as we are... we're here to meet the Master. You know, the Holy Spirit, through every single message, he's ministering Christ to us. And we can be like Rebecca and say, "Who is that man?" And we can, she lifted up her eyes, and Isaac also lifted up his eyes as he was meditating in a field. And then we see what God is doing. Isn't that great? So this is what, as I share this portion, I'm going to be in Psalm 36 tonight, just sharing my heart. Not too long ago, Psalm 36, I was at the veterinarian with my dog. I have a beautiful miniature schnauzer. Her name's Gracie. She's, you know, the joy of our lives, my wife and I. So the veterinarian, as he was inspecting her, you know, doing his, and he said, "You know, I can tell how the masters of the dogs treat their dogs by looking at their bodies, just sort of doing his, whatever his points, whatever, however they do it, whatever they're doing, those veterinarians." And the moment he said it, I got a little introspective. You know, what if my dog was really sick? You know, it's like, and is my dog like how my dog, can you really tell? He probably could, because, and then I could sort of rest in my heart knowing, because I love my dog so much, that there's nothing really, you know, yeah, that's what he's going to see. He's going to see how greatly we love this dog. And thank God she's not overweight, because, you know, we definitely spoil her, but she's not one of those kind of dogs. So what does this have to do with the message tonight? Do you know what? We have such a good God, such a loving God. He is the greatest master. He cares so much for us. He takes such good care of us. And the church is a witness. This ministry is a witness to the greatness and the goodness and the love of God. People say it all the time when they come in here. And that's what Psalm 36 is about. If you have your Bibles, it's a psalm, it says, of David, the servant of the Lord. And I was thinking about being a servant. You know, this is Rebecca in that story this morning. She just had to hear the servant say, you know, could you give me something to drink? And not only did she give him, but he had 10 camels. And I don't know how much they drink, but she says, I'm also going to give water to your camels. So she must have been a very strong lady. God bless Rebecca. She went to work. She was doing it unto the Lord, I'm sure. It wasn't like, and the servant's looking at her serving, and in his heart he's saying, yes, yes. Isn't it great, like sometimes when you meet somebody or you're speaking to somebody and they said, I was just thinking about that question you just asked this morning, and you're sort of there in God's place. I think God sends us so often to represent him and to really have a word in season and to serve. So this is what David has to serve in the psalm. I have written in my Bible above the psalm, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Isn't that great? Romans 5:20. This is a Pauline psalm, you could say. This is the truth of the grace of God in this passage, like none other in the psalms. The reason is because the first four verses have to do with the deceitfulness and the depths of sin. It's really talking about how dark you think, and thank God that we can come to church and hear how dark our sin is. So the first verse is interesting. It says, an oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes. This is the New King James, so I don't know what they have up there, if they have it even up there. An oracle, okay, within my heart. Thank you, you have the New King James. That's amazing. One translation I read, rather than just saying within my heart, it says deep within the heart. And it's sort of like the transgression of the wicked, that it's an oracle how deeply it's in the sinner's heart. And the first thing that we hear about that is there is no fear of God before his eyes. I was reading yesterday about, it was on the Psalms because I'm going to be teaching the Psalms, and the writer was saying that the modern mind, modern people sort of think that their philosophy is new, and this is like, but he's saying it's old, it's Epicureanism. And he talked about this sort of this pleasure, sort of serving, living to be happy, you know, just serving yourself, and this idea that there is no God and there's no accountability. And I thought, isn't that the thing that is so precious about us? We know not only that there's a God, but we know that we have to give an account. We know that, and without the blood of Jesus Christ, we would be so lost. But because of the blood of Christ, we're like running right to the throne of God. We can't wait. We're like, we wake up thinking about the Bema seat because of forgiveness and because of the heart of our God. So this, it goes from bad to worse in this psalm, the first four verses, but I wanted to concentrate on the second part. Let me just get some water here. Oh, thank God. Thank God for water. Oh, thirsty for God. The deep calls to the deep, Psalm 42:7. Thinking about that, like thirsty for God. Here's this woman at a well. She's giving water to the servant. She's feeding the camels. In the New Testament, we have Jesus at a well, and it's the Samaritan woman. He's asking her for a drink. He's ministering to her. All of this, these well meetings, this is something that's the deep calling to the deep. I was thinking about the deepness of sin being met by the depth of God's love, which is what basically happens here. The psalmist takes us into the depths. Verse 4, he devises wickedness in his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not hate evil. Wow. This is the world. But, verse 5, your mercy, O God, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. Isn't that good? So the mountains of God, the depths of God, his judgments, his righteousness, the faithfulness reaching to the clouds. Mercy is higher than the heavens. This is just showing us how great God's attributes are. They're so awesome and so much greater than us in our sin. This is the Lord. This is what he is and what he has to offer, his righteousness and our sinfulness. But then verse 7, I love it. It says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. How excellent is your chesed. This is almost like his mercy, his faithfulness, his righteousness, his judgments are like attributes, you could say, but his love, his loving kindness is his nature. This is like his person. This is the most precious of all. This is the most personal, you could say. This is what I love about this. It's like, okay, God is so big. He has so much to offer. He is just so great. But then his loving kindness, it says, therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. I was thinking that word, I underlined it, children of men. It's like for children. This truth about God's excellent love, the love of God, the precious love of God is for children. And it causes us not to run away, but we're like looking for the mother hen. We're looking for protection. We're looking for a God who will cover us, will take the heat for us, will, and the mother, that mother hen picture is something that Jesus used with Jerusalem as he looked over the city. This is the heart of our God. So this was the verse when I was thinking about the church. Actually, this message, just somebody just gave such an edifying comment today about God's provision. Isn't it great how God, we sort of give everything without forethought for our futures, really. We never really how people in the world sort of calculate to retire, to live in ease. You know, we don't, but we can say at the end of our life that God has been so good. I mean, more than good. I mean, we can't even, and this is the verse, it says, they are abundantly satisfied in the fullness of your house. And in the King James, it says the fatness of your house. And I was thinking this when I was a missionary in India. I used to come here for convention. I would go back to India and they would say, Pastor Cannon, you're looking so fat. And I'd be like, oh no. And he says, no, that's very good. Fatness is like good. In the sense that we're healthy, we're eating so well. And the fatness here, I think this fullness that abundantly satisfies us, it's the anointing. It's this presence of the Holy Spirit. It's that words that fell the devil, but they pierce us. I don't know. It's that word that makes us lift up our eyes and see the camels. And it's the word that just makes us like, feed the camels, you know, give water to the camels. We're abundantly satisfied in the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. What a translation that is. It's like almost like we're back to Eden. It's almost like I think about the thirst. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm thirsty for God. I came to church tonight because I need to hear from God. I need to sense his love. I need a word from him to get me through the night. And this is what comes. It's not just a trickle, but it's a river. And I often think about the throne of God and the river coming out of the throne and just breaking through the city and going right down the center and the trees of life. And this is our God. And this is what Jesus Christ basically said in John 7. He says, you know what? Come unto me, all you that are thirsty, and I'll give you drink. And not only that, but there's going to be a river of living water flowing out of you, flowing out of us. It happens. We have something to give people. We really do. It says, for with you, 9, is the fountain of life. Wow, the fountain of life. People are staving off death. They don't talk about death, Pastor Shallow was saying. I don't want to hear about death. Where's the fountain of life? They're looking for a fountain of youth or whatever, a fountain of youth. We have found it. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the fountain of life. And it's in his light that we see light. So I was thinking about the calling of the deep to the deep. I was thinking of the light of God, uncreated light. No more sun in the New Jerusalem and in the New Heaven, because God is the light of that city. Jesus like shone, and this is what we're coming to that light, and we're receiving light where our depths are being ministered to, and we are so abundantly satisfied. So it's like, in closing, Psalm 23 is a shift in that psalm. God is now the host, and we're sitting at a table in the presence of our enemies. God's pouring a cup, and our cup's overflowing, and he's anointing our head with oil, and it's such a beautiful picture of feasting and fun and life, and God is for us. He's providing for us. We have our daily bread, and we have more than enough. It's sort of, and we're our thirst is satisfied, and this is like our life with God, and this is why we come. We come to get filled up, and then go in the strength of that. Whatever we're eating, we're going in the strength of that to minister his life to others. Wow. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful psalm of your grace, your love, your excellent, precious love, God, your loving kindness. We love it. And the fatness of your house. Thank you for satisfying us abundantly, more than abundantly, God. And bless the rest of the service. We thank you for our pastor. We love him. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Pastor Glenn, what class are you teaching? Psalms, okay. So if you want to take Psalms class this semester with Pastor Cannon, sounds like a good idea. Huh? Psalm 36. I'm going to just speak for 5 minutes or so, and because that really ministered, I know, to us. And I was thinking when he was speaking that the Holy Spirit makes us a family. We're like a family. When you're in a family, you have a home. You have a dad. You have sisters and brothers. So I want you to see, look at this one verse in Job 1, please. Job chapter 1. And I realize this, I don't know where, if I read it or heard it or what it was, but it's Job chapter 1, when the devil came before the Lord. This is Job 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. How many know this portion? You know this text? Yeah. Okay, Satan. So where this meeting was, we don't know. Was it in the first heaven? Was it in the second heaven? He had been thrown out of the third heaven. But the sons of God. The sons of God is a phrase in the Old Testament for the angels. So the angels assembled with God. And then Satan came into the meeting too. So Satan came into the meeting, and then God said this, verse 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Where are you coming from? Good question, huh? What would you say to Satan if Satan showed up in your living room? Where are you coming from? Okay, or get out. Yeah. Hey, you're in the wrong place. Okay, wait a minute. That's not my point. My point is his answer. What did Satan say? He said, then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Do you know what that means? He doesn't have a home. Where are you coming from? Walking around. Walking around on the earth, going to and fro. You don't have a home. He didn't say that, but I'm saying it to you and me. You don't have a place. You don't have a father. You're without a father. You don't have a comforter. You don't have a home. You don't have a place to rest. You don't have a place to be edified. You don't have a place to receive truth. The truth comes into us, Jesus said, and it sets us free. You don't have that. You don't have the truth setting you free. You don't have a home. You don't have love. You don't have peace. You don't have edification. No, he doesn't. It's only one step more, and you can talk about people. Where are you coming from? And there are people that say, just, I'm lost. I don't have a home. I don't have it. I'm restless. I'm walking around. I'm goofing around. I'm wasting my life. I'm empty. I am hurting. I am in trouble. Who are you? The person could say. Please come in. I understand you. You are not rejected. I thought of that today. I wonder how many people come into our church and they say in their heart, Satan can say it to them when they leave. They can say it in their heart when they're here. They can say, I don't have a place here. These people have. I don't have a place. Yeah. And I would like to say to them, no, you have a place. God is for you. No. You see, God could not evangelize Satan in this chapter because there are two separate kingdoms, and Satan doesn't have a place, and God is not giving him one. He's not taking him back. God is not saving Satan. He's not saying, come back into heaven. He's not saying, accept me again, believe in me, and trust in me. He's not saying that to him. But we are saying it in a satanic world. We are giving the gospel. And by the way, I kind of feel that there are people that don't understand the gospel. And let me say it to you simply. Every one of us as people, there's no way any of us could be righteous. Any of us could be accepted. There's no way. No more than if I took a dead man and said to the dead man, rise up. Go ahead, be raised from the dead. It's the same, it's same miracle that comes from God, that God would say, rise up, and he rises up. Not because of the man, but because of God. It's the same with salvation. There's no way you would be saved except God saved you. God regenerated you and gave you a new life. God gave you a family. God gave you a resting place. God sent the Holy Spirit into the world. The gospel is the greatest news to come to a human being and is so totally a work of grace, a work of God. And God paid such a high price for that to happen. And the Holy Spirit is in the world with us. Let me close with that. The Holy Spirit is in the world with us to say to people that are being lied to, I have no place. I don't have any God. I don't want God. I don't believe in God. All of those kind of people that are around us in this world, many times they don't want it because they don't understand it. But if God can raise the dead, he can save a soul. If he can raise the dead, he can wash our sin away. If he can call you by name, he can call you by name and make you a child of God by the grace of God. And you have a place. Today we've been speaking about the Holy Spirit, and we just heard these two amazing messages. Jehu was driving furiously because he was on a mission. And the world comes out concerned. Are you for peace? And Jehu said, what do you have to do with peace? Get behind me. I'm on a mission. I'm going to go execute somebody. That's what he was going to do. I'm going to go execute some people. That's what Jehu was doing. Jesus came with the Spirit of truth, and you can't buy him. You cannot convince him to compromise. You cannot make a deal. You cannot cut a deal with Jesus. Jesus is here in the world to give us a home where there is no compromise, to make God our Heavenly Father, to indwell us with the Holy Spirit and commission us to a mission of reconciliation. And that's such an honor. Okay. So how do we close this message? Just to say, I'm sorry for people. I'm sorry for people that are so deeply troubled. Where are you coming from? You don't want to know where I'm coming from. Do you know you have a place here? No, I don't know I have a place here. You have. God has a place for you here. God is the one you need. Come to him. Turn to him. Start praying to him. I said that to somebody on the street recently. I shared a little bit. I didn't have the time, or I wasn't able to articulate the gospel or whatever. But I just said to the person, I think it was a young person, listen to me. I want you to start praying to God. He will answer you. Is that okay? Will you start praying to God? Yes, of course. You can pray to God. He will answer you. This is about God, not about you and me. This is about God. He has a home, a bulwark, a tower, a place of refuge, a hiding place, a salvation, the gift. He has a family. He has a home. He has the Holy Spirit. I've heard about these many miracles in Afghanistan where people have had dreams of Christ, and how many thousands of people in Afghanistan have turned to Christ. I love to hear those stories and hear about it, because if you pray to God, he will answer you. He doesn't want anybody lost like Satan is lost. Where are you coming from? Going to and fro, riding my motorcycle up and down the highway, you know, doing wheelies. Where are you coming from? Oh, my, you know, there and there, and I do this and that, and I don't really have it. I don't have it. And Jesus is saying, I am the way, the truth. Come to me and sit with Mary and listen. And this will change your life. I've sent the Holy Spirit into the world so this would be real. I sent the Holy Spirit so you wouldn't be alone. You'd have sisters and brothers. I sent the Holy Spirit so that you could be like Joshua, who had wisdom, and Othniel in Judges 3:10, and Gideon in Judges 6. And you could be like a man of God, like Solomon with his wisdom, and David with his mercy, and Elijah with his courage. I sent the Holy Spirit into the world to do this work, and he is with you. Walk with him. You have a place. Wow. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, some years ago we heard Pastor Ben say that Satan is an orphan without a father. And Satan wants this world to be an orphan world, people without a heavenly father. And the work of evil is all around us. But so is your grace. So is the message of grace. And so is your Holy Spirit in the world to bring a people, that this people would be called by your name. We'd be on the earth with your name and say, come into the family, come into the house. Wisdom cries out in the street, turn in here. Our Bible college is so important because we need the training. Many, many believers, they could not find the Gospel of Matthew if you handed them the Bible without going to the table of contents. Many believers could not tell one parable, not one prophecy, not one doctrine out of Ephesians or Colossians. Many of us, and we are saddened that the church is not teaching the Bible, that the church is not progressing in the ongoing anointing of the Spirit because of faith obedience. There should be an increase in godliness and righteousness from faith to faith. Lord, but we are here, not much, but your great grace is enough. We are troubled on every side sometimes, but not perplexed, not in despair. And Lord, bless these weeks ahead of us this fall. Pray for our country, pray for the churches, pray for the pastors, the faithfulness of many, many precious thousands and thousands of people that are hungry and thirsty, and add to the church daily such as should be saved, and bring in new people, and teach us how to talk, just normally talk to people. Where are you coming from? What's happening in your life? And have a word in season just to talk and be relaxed and love people and share and go to the deeper things because we've been in the church. We are God's anointed. We've been sent into the world. We are on a mission. And help our Afghan brothers and sisters, and lead us this week in our prayers for Dan Sergioni and his recovery, Big Dave and his recovery, and anybody else sick. And keep us healthy. Keep us from the pandemic. And lead us in faith and in your will. In Jesus' name. Bless the semester of the day school starting tomorrow and then the Bible college a week later. Amen. One last prayer. If you're here and you have never received Jesus, this is a great day for you to do this. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. Years ago, I heard Dr. Stevens tell about a young woman came to the church and her father was against it. He had a tractor. And unfortunately, that afternoon, the tractor flipped over. The man was dying, but he had rejected the gospel, had rejected the ministry. He was angry about his daughter being a believer, and he died that afternoon. What a sad story. None of us knows what a day will bring. And don't put off salvation. But today is the day of salvation. It's today, not tomorrow, it's today. And put your heart, your trust in Jesus, and he saves you instantly by his grace and forgives you of all your sin, gives you the Holy Spirit, and you have a place with God forever. And you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In his name, amen.